Blog Talk Radio.
Jean Tupac Reese. This is Real Talk for Real People. An educational film that is designed to help you understand the Most High from a bird's eye view, to go back in time, to do a critical analysis in our assessment, and then come to some firm conclusion as to what mistakes we made to get us in the boats we're in together, universally speaking, and to remedy that situation. So that's why you have the Real Talk for Real People show. Cartier and I, we try to be due diligent in our efforts to bring the truth to you. Although sometimes it seems to be unappreciated, especially if you're doing it for the wrong reasons. But Cartier and I, we don't do it for the wrong reasons, so we don't care nothing about no appreciation. We only care what the Most High says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, be that as it may, welcome to the show. Have you got your books? You need your books. You need to study, okay? Don't rely on Cartrell and I to have everything for you. You got to do something for yourselves, okay? Get your books. But before we get started, I'd like to make mention of some of you had noticed. The things are going on in the Congress of these United States of America. Seems 140 congressmen and a handful of senators are going to object to Biden being sworn. They can make all the objections they want. The selection has already been made. And I would call them the extreme universal white race supremacists. Yes, they're extreme in their efforts. And what they say in their votes are concerned when they say about election frauds, what it really is saying is this: if we can't steal it, then you must have stole it from us. That's true. If we can't steal it, you must have stole it from us. That's fault. But some of you fail to remember our Native American brothers and sisters. White men speak with forked tongue. You know, they got all the laws on the book they want to have. They can't even follow their own laws in reference to anything. I mean, it's a crying shame. And then don't think I'm going to let the Democrats off the hook either. They're just, as Cartier alludes, they're different sides of the same coin. They're the milder form of universal white race supremacy. They're the milder form, although they're one and the same. So don't think I'm letting any one of them off the hook. I'm not. Either one hand or the other, the stream form or the mild form, but they're still one and the same. So don't get the game twisted, okay? And as I always say, and let me say again, if you don't know what your captivity is, what it is, and how it works, you're going to be totally confused about everything. Let me repeat that. If you don't know about your captivity, what it is, and how it works, you're going to be totally confused about everything. You might even think you're free. Oh, my. I'm going to stop it. Contrary, my brother and friend from New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family, shalom, brother Yom Sufa Arim, and Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you too.
Yes. Yeah, we in the democracy, and they don't want to follow their own rules. It's like the game of Monopoly, and you the banker, you control everything on the board, and they playing the game of Monopoly. So they want to keep power, but they don't want to follow their own rules. So if Trump didn't win the election, Biden didn't win the election, then what about all these Republican senators? Was the election illegit for them too?
Exactly.
So who are we going to choose? We're going to choose the Democrats, Republicans, or we're going to choose y'all?
Exactly. I prefer to choose your country, if you don't mind.
Because believe me, it's a circus right now. I study political science. Uh-huh. What these fools are doing now, it's not in the books.
No.
What they're doing now is not in the books.
No,
in my lifetime, you've never seen anything like this. There's always been what they call a smooth transition of power. from one president to the next, even though they didn't like each other. They talk bad about each other. But they do respect when the people vote. So when, especially in the Electoral College.
Exactly.
So what they trying to do is wicked, evil. You see with these vaccines, all kind of diabolical stuff is going on. They had a pharmacist who took the vaccine out the freezer for hours and then put it back and then tried to shoot it in people's arm. And they said it was null and void because of how he did it. So you really can't trust what these people are doing.
Exactly. Tiberius sound like you over there babysitting, brother.
Yeah, my grandson. He having fun. He ain't been here in a while.
Yeah.
So he all up in the energy right here in my room. So.
Yeah, he having a good time.
Yeah, he definitely having a good time.
Well, we ain't going to let it distract us. We just going to keep doing it.
No. Yeah.
I mean, he's no distraction. To notice things. All right, Cottrell, let me try it again. Because I don't have too many times to try getting this pronunciation correct. I have the night and tomorrow, and then I had to start back over when we start back over again.
Okay.
Okay. Y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y-y Fight George.
You got it the first time.
Yeah.
I sell good.
Okay. By George Cottrell, I think he's got it. All right.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Why Yikra? Why Yikra?
Okay, y'all. Turn to chapter 23. Some of you call it Leviticus.
Yeah. But, what does Leviticus mean?
I don't know. That sounds like a Roman name. Because any damn Roman, they always had that cuss on by.
Us.
A Roman word.
And they definitely ain't talking about us. But
exactly.
I think they try to incorporate the Levites, Leviticus, the Levite us, whatever.
Leviticus.
That's the Levite in us.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. Y'all ready to get started? May the Most High bless you. And give him a blessing, too. Take a moment out to give. We learned yesterday, bless the Most High, too, okay?
And all that's within you.
Exactly.
Bless his holy name.
You know what? When I did that yesterday, Cottrell, bless the Most High, man, I've been sleeping like a baby. You had to call me today. Soup, get up, man. It's me. That's what? Hey, Cottrell, I took a nippy nap. I think it's like 2-something. Man, you called me for, man. I was out of it for a minute, but then the Most High made my mind sharp about several minutes later. I was back on point. I was back in the fight.
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah, I stay on point. Yeah.
You was out of it when I called you, bro.
Yeah, because you even said it. Soup, you been asleep, man. Yeah, bro. I'm all right. May the Most High bless you. All right, y'all. Let's get started. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Israelites people, and said to them, these are fixed times, the fixed times of the Elohim, which you shall proclaim as a sacred occasion. On 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there shall be a Sabbath, a complete rest, a sacred occasion. You shall do no work. It shall be a Sabbath of the Elohim throughout your settlements, your land. These are the set times of the Elohim, the sacred occasion which you shall celebrate each at an appointed time. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, there shall be a Passover offering to the Elohim. And on the 15th day of that month, the Elohim's feast of unleavened bread, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days. On the first day, you shall celebrate a sacred occasion. You shall do no work at your occupation. 7 days, you shall make offerings by fire for the whole 7 days to the Elohim. The seventh day shall be a sacred occasion. You shall do no work at your occupations. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Israelite people, inform them, and said to them, when you enter the land that I am giving to you, and you reap its harvest, you should bring the first sheaf of your harvest to the priest. He should elevate the sheaf before the Elohim for acceptance in your behalf. The priest should elevate it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day that you elevate the sheaf, you shall offer as a burnt offering to the Elohim a lamb of the first year without blemish. The meal offering with this shall be 2/10 of a measure of choice flour with oil mixed in it, an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to the Elohim, and a libation with it shall be of wine, 1/4 hin. Until that very day, until you have brought the offerings of your Elohim, you shall eat no bread or parched grain or fresh ears. It is a law for all times throughout the ages and all of your settlements. And from the day on which you bring the sheath of elevation offering, the day after the Sabbath, you shall count off 7 weeks. They must be complete. You must count until the day after the 7th week, 50 days. Then you shall bring an offering of new grain to the Elohim. You shall bring from your settlements 2 loaves of bread as an elevation offering. Each shall be made of 2/10 of a measure of choice flour, baked after levain, as first fruits to the Elohim. With the bread you shall present a burnt offering to the Elohim. 7 yearling lambs without blemish, 1 bull of the herd, and 2 rams with their meal offering and libations, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Elohim. You shall also offer 1 he-goat as a sin offering, and 2 yearling lambs as a sacrifice of way of being. The priest shall elevate these, the 2 lambs together with the bread of first fruits, as an elevation offering before the Elohim. They shall be holy to the Elohim for the priest. On the same day, you shall hold a celebration. It shall be a sacred occasion for you. You shall not work at your occupations. This is a law for all times in your land, well, settlements in your land throughout the ages. Same, one and the same. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap all the way to the edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the strangers, people of different nations. I the Elohim, am your Yah. I, Yah, am your Elohim. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Israelite people. Thus, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall observe complete rest, a sacred occasion commemorated with loud blasts, horn blasts, ram horns. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall bring an offering by fire to the Elohim. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, mark the 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be a sacred occasion for you. You shall practice self-denial. You shall bring an offering by fire to the Elohim. You shall do no work throughout that day, for it is a day of atonement on which expiation is made on your behalf before Yah, your Elohim. Indeed, any person who does not practice self-denial throughout that day shall be cut off from his kin. And whoever does any work throughout that day, I will cause that person to perish from among his people. Do no work whatever. It is a law for all times throughout the ages in all your settlements, your land. It shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for you. You shall practice self-denial on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to the next evening. You should observe this Sabbath. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, said to the Israelite people, on the 15th day of this 7th month, There should be a feast of booths, of tents. To the Elohim, to last 7 days, you must build a tent, a booth. The first day shall be a sacred occasion. You shall do no work at your occupations. 7 days you shall bring offerings by fire to the Elohim. On the eighth day, you shall observe a sacred occasion and bring an offering by fire to the Elohim. It is a solemn gathering. You should not work at your occupations. Those are the set times of the Elohim that you should celebrate as a sacred occasion, bringing offerings by fire to the Elohim, burnt offerings, meal, burnt offering, two, meal offering, sacrifices, and libations. On each day, what is proper to it apart from the Shabbats of the Elohim, apart from your gifts, and from all your votive offerings, and from all your freewill offering that you give to the Elohim. Mark on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the yield of your field, your land, you shall observe the festival of the Elohim to last. This festival shall last 7 days, a complete rest on the first day, and a complete rest on the eighth day. On the first day, you should take the product of hadar trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brooks. You shall rejoice before the Yah, your Elohim, 7 days. You shall observe it as a festival of the Elohim for 7 days in the year. You shall observe it in the seventh month as a law for all times throughout the ages. In that time, you shall live in booths made of those materials that the Most High made reference to. 7 days. All citizens in Israel, in the land, shall live in booths, in order that the future generation may know that I made the Israelite people live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mizraim. I, Yah, your Elohim. So Moses declared to the Israelites the set time of the Most High. Katra, do you have any commentary, my brother and friend? I guess Katra turned his mic off, call his grandson.
Yes.
Okay, do you have any commentary, brother?
What kind of times are these?
Set times for forever.
Set times and festivals.
And festivals in the land.
So Christians tell us that the sacrifices are done away with because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. He cannot substitute for all these sacrifices that we had to make.
Exactly.
You're talking about
Cottrell.
The Festival of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
The Festival of Booths, which all mark occasions in our history.
Right.
The Feast of Unleavened Bread marks when Yah came and got us out of Egypt. And
right.
That's associated with the Last Supper. Yeah, it's the Last Supper, but it wasn't the only supper that was observed, because these suppers were supposed to be observed from generation to generation.
Exactly.
Forever, as a memorial that Yah brought us out of the land of Egypt. And another reminder, in the end of the year, we dwelt in booths to remind us of what? The fact that we dwelt in booths where? In a wilderness. Think about that. In a place where no man dwelt. And we were there
exactly.
for 40 years. Yah
exactly.
took care of us in a place where you couldn't live for 40 years.
Exactly.
So he shows he does the impossible. And in our history, he reminds us, you dwelt with me 40 years in the wilderness. I took care of you. You adapted. You had everything you wanted, right? Because they was rich with gold and silver and fine twine, linen, and all kind of stuff that Yah told them to bring forth, to the point where Yah told them, stop, you have enough.
Yeah, but, Cartrell, they had to be able to set up those booths to live in and break them down very easily in order to march forward to fallen day. So,
as
you said, it's a memorial to when we had to set up those booths as our living arrangements for 40 years, something that you could easily put up and something that you could easily tear down, just as easily tear down. And so the Most High says you must keep this in memory. And so as Cartier said, and I concur with him, why would the Most High do away with this? He said for all times in your land. So somebody's telling a lie. It ain't y'all. Y'all say when I say something, I don't shortchange. I say what I said. I mean what I said. So somebody's telling you a lie, and I don't think it's y'all.
Yeah. In other words, they telling you that y'all changed his mind, and I don't think so.
Exactly.
So, you said in our land. Now, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
What are we supposed to bring up on these festivals?
Oh, talking about in our land?
Yeah.
Oh, there were certain requirements you had to bring in reference to that festival. You had to bring leavened bread in reference to one of them. And another one, you had to bring a ram or a bull. You had to bring yearlings, the first fruit of your harvest, your harvest. I ain't talking about what you got at the grocery store.
Right. So can we bring the first fruits of our harvest in the lands of our captivity?
Impossible.
And those first fruits are supposed to be the best of your crops. So when you
exactly.
go to the supermarket, do you think you're getting the best of the crops of America to present to the Most High?
Let me tell you what we said in the hood. I don't think so.
So we get secondhand stuff that we didn't grow ourselves, and we swear we abiding by what these ordinances are saying right here, because he said forever in every generation. So we supposed to do it. Excuse me. You can't do it if you ain't got it.
Exactly.
And y'all's not gonna hold you accountable if you don't have it. How can we do it, y'all, if we don't have it?
Hey, you let them Negroes take off from their job for 7 days if they
Listen,
want it. They gonna come back and get their job.
You gotta get a note to submit to your master.
Yeah.
So that you could go and serve your other master.
Exactly.
What you think your other master is looking at you when you go to the other master and ask him for permission to go serve your real master?
What? For real?
And here in Judah, you're 7 days off. You could take that one day, the Jewish holiday. But you ain't taking 7 days.
Negro, and you better be hitting the clock tomorrow. All right?
But could we do this in our own land? Because we don't need permission from our boss in our own land.
Exactly.
When I'm bringing up my fruits off my farm, off my land, and bringing it to the temple to the priests, because they got to eat too.
Exactly.
Our portion that we bring is their portion that they eat.
Exactly. So we got to look out for the priests. So, you know, everything was connected to one another. I mean, you're going to find out when we get to Bar Mitzvah that we had to have discipline and self-control. And you're going to find out that our first quarter in the first chapter about discipline and control. Everybody in their place doing their thing, all working in unison together, just like a big jigsaw puzzle.
No, like a nation.
Right.
Like a nation. Not like a religious cult. Not like some religious body, Jim Jones. No, a nation.
Exactly.
We had to defend ourselves against hostile nations that was trying to take us out. And we had our military. And we had our priests. And everybody knew what they had to do as a nation.
And sometimes we didn't have to take a vote on the people in leadership position. You'll find that out too. You'll find out we didn't have to take a vote who was going to be in charge of Judah, Simon, Issachar, or whatnot, the general of that troop. You'll find out that the Most High chose the people to be in charge. Okay? And then that leader chose the people under him to be in charge, okay? So when you want to be in charge of something, sometimes leaning to your own understanding will get you out of sync with the Most High. You got to make sure you are in sync with the Most High, and he didn't choose you for that. Otherwise, you lean into your own understanding, and everything ain't going to work together just like a big jigsaw puzzle. You're going to throw a monkey wrench into it. You might be the monkey that's throwing the wrench. Okay? Go ahead, Contreras. Go ahead, buddy.
Are you following a blind monkey like you in religion, like Christianity, that changed the seventh day to the first day? If you ask most Christians what's the first day of the week, what they going to tell you?
Sunday?
No, they'll say Monday.
Oh, Monday? Okay, all right.
I mean, if you catch them off guard, like, what's the first day of the week?
Right.
Because it's a work day, right? We're so used to starting work on Monday, we think that Monday is the first day of the week. But no, Sunday is the first day of the week. And if Sunday is the first day of the week, did the Most High say to come and worship him on the first day of the week or the seventh day of the week?
Seventh day of the week.
So why y'all doing it on the first day?
Because they throw the monkey wrench.
There you go.
Okay.
Now people follow hook, line, and sinker. Our churches in our neighborhood, 461 in Mount Vernon, 4 square miles, lined up, cars packed. First day of the week. Y'all talk about y'all praising God.
Mm-hmm. What a shame, what a shame, Cartrell. What a shame, what a shame.
Clear right here. He said the seventh day, didn't he?
Exactly.
6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day. And he say the first day.
Exactly.
So they got a problem with that because they don't really hear the voice or the message that the Most High brings to the nation of Israel and really all mankind, because the seventh day is a mark of creation. It's Yah who made the sun. It's Yah who made the moon. It's Yah who made the stars and the heavens and the earth and everything that is therein. So you have to acknowledge and give him credit and give him praise and glory, because that's what he wants. Give him credit for what he did, because you're here to acknowledge it. You give you the voice to do it.
Well, Cartrell, unfortunately, what you said is too much like right, as we say in the hood. That's too much like right. Okay? It's too much like right to heed the counsel of the Most High. And simply heed the counsel of your local, state, or federal politicians, you know, when they change, and sometimes your pastor when they change things, okay? That's too much like right to listen to Yah, Cartrell. Okay?
Well, it ain't me that's talking, it's Yah that's talking. And he's only talking through my voice because I'm trying to present it. He ain't going to speak off the pages of your book. So you're bringing the words of Yah off the pages of this book. And as we read Yah's word, trust me, Yah is not playing with his message. Yah will kill you. He'll cut you off, destroy you. That's what he's saying.
Why can't they understand that, Contra? They can understand.
They have no wisdom.
Right, because they can understand me and human being doing that, cutting you off and killing you. But they can't understand the concept of your creator doing the same thing. Like, he's weak. He's soft. He just loves everything. I got me a boyfriend. I got me a goat as a wife. That's okay? Okay, that's cool. But now, you run up to men and say you dating a goat. And that's your wife. And they cut you off. You more scared of men than you scared of Yah. And then you run up to men and say, hey, I got me a boyfriend. Can I lead the parade? Yeah. You more scared of going along with what men said than what Yah said. I'm getting a blank here, Cartrell. I'm getting a blank here. Something doesn't stand the reason.
Well, man, Most High said, it grieves me that I made him because he's evil from his youth. He ain't not listening to me. He's not listening to the Most High. And Most High is severe. We read where if a priest's daughter, what do you say about the priest's daughter if she played the harlot?
Put her to the fire. Put that fire on her behind.
That sounds cruel, doesn't it?
Well, it is what it is. Because she knew better first quarter. She would talk like that when she was a young baby, a young girl, a teenager. She knew the rules.
If you think the people saw the people enforcing that judgment, how many priests' daughter you think gonna follow that path?
Ain't too many. They won't be twerking it, I can tell you that. They gonna be working, but they ain't gonna be twerking. So now, do I feel sorry for them? No. Cause they knew the rules just like you and me.
And what are we talking about? You talking about a priest's daughter that's in the presence of the Most High, and she's bringing harlotry into the temple, into the sanctuary, amongst the holy things in the presence of Yah? No, she got to go.
And waste your tears. Somebody that is worthy of your tears. She knew better. See, that's what's wrong with us today. Look at our children. Look at some of our elders, a whole lot of them, for that matter. Look at what they do. Killing, mistreating, abusing, dominating us. And then we're supposed to have sympathy. We're supposed to have sympathy for them. Selling drugs, prostituting our women. We're supposed to have sympathy for those. I think not. Not Young Suf. Okay? Because if they don't know the rules, they need to find out what the rules are. They need to find out what the codes are. Because I can guarantee you this. Let me tell you something. Electricity is a harsh taskmaster. And Contreras can tell you that. Let an electrician not go by the rules and handle electricity and imagine what's going to happen to them. Okay? You let that electrician go in there handling that electricity without some form of security and safety. And imagine what's going to happen. Well, that electrician knew the rules before he started working with electricity. And then if that electricity to burn his, I started to say another word, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to supplement it for a better word. If that electricity burned his behind up, he knew the rules. And Yah is far worse than electricity because he made electricity. Okay?
They know, and he'll burn you up. Just like he burned Aaron's sons up. He ain't waiting for you to burn them up. I'll burn them up myself. And don't you cry for them. Continue the process, because this is how serious this process is. So Aaron's sons wasn't playing the harlot, but they was doing something wrong that they shouldn't have been doing. And to show how serious it is to be in the presence of the creator of heaven and earth, you can't be playing no game.
No, you can't. And y'all going to find out, I don't know if it's this next chapter or the another one, about getting out of sync with things. It cost a young fella his life. A half Israelite woman, her husband was a Mizraim, and
she was an Israelite woman, but she getting ahead of the story.
Right.
She wasn't half Israelite. She was an Israelite.
Right. And how you can start something and call people their lives. And because they knew the rules. Okay? And I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to get further ahead of the story, as Cartier alluded to. But if Cartier is done with his commentary, I am too. And we're going to move right along to the next chapter.
Yeah, okay. So just a reminder that we had to bring the best of our crop during these set times. These set times, we're supposed to know. Most of our people are celebrating Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, and we don't know nothing about these days that are set times as far as our nation is concerned.
That's why education and fundamental education is very important. You need this education. We all need this education. It's fundamental to who you are. Okay? Well, let us continue, shall we? May the Most High bless you, brothers and sisters, in this next study session, in the 24th chapter. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, command the Israelite people to bring you clear oil of beaten olives. And this oil is to be used lighting for kindling lamps regularly. Aaron set them up in the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle, outside the curtain of covenant to burn from evening to morning before the Elohim regularly. It is a law for all time throughout the ages. He shall set up lamps of pure lamp stand before the Elohim to burn regularly. You shall take choice flour and bake it of 12 loaves, 2/10 of measure for each loaf. Place them on the pure table before the Elohim in two rows, 6 to a row. With each row, you shall place pure frankincense, which is to be a token offering for the bread, as an offering by fire to the Elohim. He shall arrange them before the Elohim regularly every Sabbath day. It is a commitment for all time on the part of the Israelites. They shall belong to Aaron and his sons, who shall eat them in the sacred precincts, for they are his as most holy things from the Elohim's offering by fire, a due for all time. There came out among the Israelites one whose mother was Israelite, and his father was a Mizraim. And a fight broke out in the camp between the half Israelite and a certain Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman pronounced the name in blasphemy. He was brought to Moses. Now the mother's name was Shilomit, daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. The son was placed in custody until the decision of the Elohim should be made to clear them. The Elohim spoke to Moses, "Take the blasphemer outside the camp." He knew the rules. "And let all who come within hearing lay their hands upon his head," everybody close by him. "And then let the whole community stone him." He knew the rules. "And the Israelite people speak, and to the Israelite people speak thus." This is going to clarify some things. "Anyone who has blasphemed his Elohim, Yah, shall bear his guilt. He who also pronounced the name of Yah, he shall be put to death. The whole community shall stone him, stranger or citizen." I don't care who they are. Are they from people or they are a stranger? "If he has thus pronounced the name, he shall be put to death. If anyone kills any human being, he shall be put, if you murder a human being, you shall be put to death. One who kills a beast shall make restitution for it, a life for a life. If anyone maims his fellow, as he has done, so shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for an eye, you deliberately do these things, a tooth for a tooth. The injury he inflicts on another shall be inflicted on him." Ain't that poetic justice? "One who kills a beast shall make restitution for it. But one who kills a human being shall be put to them. One who murders," there's a time and place for killing, but this is murder. "One who murders a human being shall be put to death, and no matter who that human being is, if it's one of our nation or it's a stranger from a different nation, you shall have one standard for the stranger and the citizen alike." I don't care if he killed a person of a different nation or a citizen. I don't care if he murdered a stranger, one of a different nation, or a citizen. That's true justice. Something that y'all are not used to in these United States of America, or anywhere else we are dispersed throughout. They have two forms of justice. "And I, Yah, am your Elohim." Moses spoke to the Israelite people, and they took the blasphemer outside the camp and pelted him with stones. The Israelite did as the Elohim had commanded Moses. Whatever that young fellow was doing, he thought simply because of the fact he was a so-called pure Israelite, and that the woman he felt was half that, but the Most High said he don't care about none of that. Whatever that boy did, because the Most High, they have him pelted with stone. Number one, he getting into his mama's business. And, you know, his mama and that woman had Anna against one another. He shouldn't even got into that in the first place. And he said something in regards to the Most High that he shouldn't have said. And thus the Most High broke it down to them like they were 4 years old. Okay? Saying that you can't murder nobody. You better be very careful what you're saying when you bring me at your mouth. You better keep my name at your mouth. And then again, the final analysis and conclusion, I don't care if you're a stranger or a citizen. You're all going to be treated the same in this land. So don't think you're going to get no free ride just because you're an Israelite, a so-called pure Israelite. You don't get no free rides neither. There's one standard of justice that applies to each and everybody equally. I love that. Cottrell, what say you, my brother and friend? I'll tell you, turn your mic off again. I guess you got to hit your mic again.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not used to this kind of order. They still practice some of this stuff in the Middle East, like in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
The fact that the people that heard him blaspheme Yah, all those that witnessed it, had to put their hands on him, like they put their hands on the goat, on the Azazel. And then everybody had to stone him that witnessed what he did.
Right.
So it wasn't, you know, we had an executioner and a judge and the executioner killed him. No, the people that heard him and all the congregation had a part in the violation that he, you know, was a part of. So it lets you know that this was serious business.
Right. Because, you know, I could theorize the conversation, Cottrell, between the mother, his mother, and the half Israel, so-called half Israelites.
His mother was married to an Egyptian.
Right.
He was probably arguing with another Israelite.
Right.
And
it was.
Out of his mouth, you see, the son of this Egyptian, whose mother, his mother was Israelite, but his father was Egyptian. Because
right.
his father was Egyptian, he probably cursed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, I'm talking about, I don't care about what the Yah said. The hell yeah. what Yah said. Something like that. The, you know how them young folk are quick to run off at their mouth, even today. I ain't thinking about what Yah said. That so-and-so what Yah said. And so somebody overheard the conversation, and it cost him his life. See, your mouth can make you write a ticket that your ass can't catch. When it comes to Yah, you said a bad word. I'm telling you the truth, man. Your mouth, in regards to Yah, can make you write a check your ass can't cash. Okay? And you better take this stuff serious. See, some of y'all around here talking about Yah, this and that and another. See, back in the land, when you mention Yah, you better be careful how you speak in regards to him. Okay? Because we're going to ask for you. Okay? Go ahead, Cottrell.
One thing you might not have noticed, they had baking pans with six rolls on
right.
each side, 12 altogether.
Yeah.
I know
right.
when you was growing up, you seen the muffin pans with six rolls
yeah.
of.
Yeah, I saw them, Cottrell, yeah. Uh-huh. Muffin pans.
Muffin pans. So that's an ancient thing. I thought, you know, that's like a modern invention. But this is how they used to do it in ancient times.
Right.
Six on one side, six on another side. They had to bring that up every day.
Exactly.
It would be for the priest.
And this was leavened bread. This wasn't unleavened bread.
Right.
This that you brought for the priest was not the flat bread. This bread was had to rise to it. That was for the priest, in order for the priest to eat. All right, Cottrell. If you're done with your commentaries, brother, we're moving right along, and we're ready for the next. And look here, let me tell you something, listeners. I didn't say that word, the ASS word, in order to make it something comfortable. I said it to make you uncomfortable as to why the situation should make you uncomfortable. It should shock you. The soup said the ASS word, it should be shocking. And yes, when you mention the Most High offhanded in any regard, it should be shocking. It should be shocking to us, speaking off the cuff in regards to the Most High. And it certainly would be shocking to you back in the land by all intents and purposes. And see, this education is vital for you to understand the gravity of being a representative nation of the Most High. You take the gravity of the situation because it's something serious, brothers and sisters. It's something serious. Cottrell, my brother and friend, I do apologize. You have the mic, and I'm out the way.
So, again, we have to respect animals, too. The 21st verse says, and he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killed
exactly.
that man, he should be put to death. So it wasn't no 20-year life sentence. When you kill somebody intentionally, you wasn't going to jail. You going in the grave.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hey, you know what, Cottrell? It just shows to me how important the Most High consider life is. Most have is life. And if you murdered somebody intentionally, well, it's a wrap. You mean you can call home and tell the wife you ain't coming back home, and tell the little children, I ain't coming back home. It's a wrap. And that should, and we wouldn't have what we're having right now in our communities. Children just running around killing one another and or each other, because you know why? They know they're going to be asked for. There's dead on that. Ain't going to be no life sentence. Ain't gonna be in prisons telling war stories. Then getting back out doing the same thing. It's going to be a wrap. But you got to have to know the difference between murder and killing. Sometimes there's a time and place for that. Sometimes in defense of oneself. And so on. But when you just go out and you see, I don't like him. I don't like the shoes he got. And I don't like his car. I don't like his house. And you just shoot that man or shoot that woman. You got to be asked for. And that'll solve a whole lot of problems. I'm sorry, Cartrell. And that'll solve a whole lot of problems in our nation. Okay? Go ahead, Cartrell. I apologize. I do apologize.
It says, he that killeth the beast shall make it good. Beast for beast. You just can't go around killing animals. And I'm sure the Most High is going to hold the European man accountable for all the buffalo he's killed.
Right.
They killed a whole lot of buffalo just for no reason at all. But anyway, there's another law right here. It says, if a man causes a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. We've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Exactly.
If you do something wrong to your neighbor, you knock all his teeth out his mouth, guess what's going to happen to you?
They're going to knock all your teeth out your mouth.
How about that?
That'll stop
a lot of nonsense.
That'll put a, and look at all you so-called Negroes that like the dog fights. That's good. In the culture, you like the little fight, little dog don't know no better, and you know better, it's going to cost you. And rooster fighting, you know, you, some of you Negroes, but you know, y'all probably go way back. Some of y'all like putting roosters in the rings and making them kill one another. It's going to cost you. Okay? The Most High cares about everything. Not only us human beings, but animals too, as Cartier alluded to. Life is precious. And the blood is sacred in any form of life. Okay, Cartier, I do apologize. Again.
A lot of stuff that we do, we would think twice about. If I knocked your eyeball out, I know I got to get my eyeball knocked out. I don't want my eyeball knocked out.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't no sense. You'll keep your hand to yourself. You'll learn some restraint and self-control. We talked about that today in a meeting. One of the elders, I'm not going to tell you, it ain't your business, but he was talking about restraint and self-control and discipline, self-discipline. It'll teach you to have some restraint and self-control. We ain't got none. Let's be honest about that, brothers and sisters. Universally speaking, we have no restraint and self-control. We just go by our feeling. I'm feeling some sort of way. That's why I did it. That don't work. That don't work. I'm feeling some sort of way, and that's why I did it. That's no excuse to mistreat an animal. That's no excuse to murder a man or murder a woman because you was feeling some sort of way. There's consequences and repercussions behind that. So you better try to get control of your feelings some sort of way and feeling what the Most High said instead of what you talking about your feelings. Your feelings get you in a lot of trouble. Have some self-control and discipline and discipline under the auspices of the Most High, under his tutelage. That's your best bet. Again, Cartrell, I do apologize. Hey, man, you said some things, and you know you're going to set me off. Go ahead, Cartrell.
You sound like Reuben Studdard. But anyway.
Reuben Studdard.
I apologize. But, yeah, man, if we saw this in action, it would make us, you know, really think about a lot of things that we do to each other. Because not only would we see it, we would feel it.
Yep.
We would feel ourselves. Like in the instance where the people that heard the young brother blaspheme Yah's name. Whoever heard it had to put their hands on him. You couldn't just point him out. That young boy said, blaspheme Yah's name, and then that's your part. No, you got to go put your hand on that boy, and then you got to stone him with stone because you heard it, and you brought it to the community, so you're really involved. And then a community who verifies the fact that this is what happened by more than one witness, because all the witnesses got to put their hand on him, then the whole community has to stone him so everybody feels it.
Exactly. You got to feel the pain.
So we won't be doing the crazy things that we do to each other. We'll stop the madness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well.
But we do what we want to do now. You know, we shoot each other, stab each other, rob each other, kill each other, rape each other. And what? Some people get away with it. Carte blanche. They know it ain't going to be done to them. They're going to get sent to jail. They're going to get 3 square. And those are the consequences that they're looking at. But if you're facing these consequences right here, okay, go ahead with yourself and try it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, Cadre. I was just listening.
I apologize.
Okay. No, you didn't. You didn't do that. I was just listening. You got the mic. I mean, I'm just jumping in. I'm doing Reuben Studdard.
Okay. So I'm about to jump into this song.
Okay.
Meditations on Yah, our journeys towards Yah. And I know we're in 116, right?
Uh-huh.
Sister Abby Yah. Psalms 116. You're going to keep it moving.
Abiyah, an update, please, before you get started, Katja. Abiyah, gatekeeper, an update, please.
Keep these old men on track.
Keep them on track. You know, when we get old, our mind is not sharp as we used to be. So keep us on point, sister.
What she say? I'm sure she said yes.
You hear? She said 116, Katria.
All right, we on point. 116, give praise. Bless Yah, praise Yah. Baruch atah Yah, hallelujah. Psalms 116. I love Yah. Now, Suf, you love Yah?
Certainly do.
Yeah, man, God love Yah. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Has he heard your voice and your supplications up?
I believe so, Katja. I sleep like a real baby. You know, you had to wake me up.
I love Yah too, man. Mm-hmm. And I can testify that Yah has heard my voice and my prayers, my supplications. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why I love him. That's why I'm his servant right now. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Who am I? Yah hears me. Therefore, will I call upon him as long as I live? Me too. This is the path I follow. This is why I am, because I follow the same path. The arrows of death come past me, yes, every day. Somebody want to kill you, somebody want to hurt you, somebody want to do you injustice. And the pains of hell have hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of Yah. Oh, Yah, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Simple as that. You think Yah gonna hear you when you in trouble and he sees you in sorrow? You think Yah gonna answer you when you call upon him? Gracious is Yah and righteous, yea. Our Elohim is merciful. Yah preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. See, when you brought low, and we've been brought low as a nation, he said, I'm gonna make y'all the tail and not the head. But you gotta know what you have to do when you're brought low. Yah will preserve you. But it's simple. He says, Yah preserveth the simple. It ain't complicated. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for Yah hath dealt bountifully with thee. So you're going to get rest from the troubles that you have as long as you call on Yah. And he hears your voice, and he answers you because you're walking the path of righteousness. You will always have rest from your trouble. But thou hast delivered my soul from death. Me too. I grew up in Harlem, and many of my friends ain't make it out. They died, they in jail, they caught up on drugs. And Yah has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Because I could have easily fell when I was growing up in Harlem. Trust me, very easy. I will walk before Yah in the land of the living. That's future tense, yes. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars, which stands true today. But not your trust in man, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. So don't listen to men. I'm a man. Yom Suf is a man. And we could be lying to y'all. So seek it out for yourself. Find out what Yah has to say. Yah said, all men are liars. And I've lied in my life. I ain't going to lie. I've lied. But I ain't a liar like, you know, some people lie every day. And we got a president who's about to be on his way out. And he tells lies and people believe him. And he ain't the only one, because all of them lie. What shall I render unto Yah for all his benefits towards me? I can't give him my first fruits because we ain't in our land. What can I render to Yah? What can we render unto Yah? We can't offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and burnt offerings and all the things that we've been reading about while we on this lockdown. What can we render? I will take the cup of salvation, yes, and call upon the name of Yah. It's as simple as that. I will pay my vows unto Yah now in the presence of his people. And when you make a vow to Yah, guess what? It ain't like making a vow to man. If Yah, you make a vow to Yah. And why would you make a vow to Yah? Because you might be in trouble. Yah, I swear, if you get me out of this trouble, I would never do what I've been doing to get me in this trouble in the first place. That's a vow. And when Yah bring you out of the situation that you're in, you made a vow not to go back. And if you break that vow with Yah, you might call him again when you get in that same kind of trouble again. And this time he might not answer you because you broke the vow. So when you pray a vow to Yah and he answers you, and you know it's him that answers you, you got to keep your vow. So I will pay my vows unto Yah now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of Yah is the death of Yisrael, his saints. So every death, every time the police shoot us, every time we shoot each other, is precious in the sight of Yah. How much time did he spend creating your soul, the person that you are? And here comes somebody else that he created and just takes you out without his permission. He said, precious in the sight of Yah is the death of his saints. So all this death that's going on in the world is not good in the sight of Yah. Oh, Yah, truly, I am thy servant. How many of us can proclaim that? How many of us want to proclaim that? That you're the servant of Yah. I'm thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosened my bonds, yes. Mental slavery, Yah has broken the chains. Because you could be caught up in Negro land. You could be a walking dead Negro right now if Yah doesn't loose the bonds that bond us in our mental, physical, and spiritual way. I will offer to thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Will, I can't do it now. But when you bless us back with our land and give us our inheritance, yes, blessings of thanksgiving is going to come forever. And I will call upon the name of Yah. I will pay my vows again, important to do, unto Yah in the presence of all his people, in the courts of Yah's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, because that's the final destination, that's the final goal. That's the prize that we all should be aiming for, not heaven, but to dwell in the courts of Yah's house. And we know where that's coming from, right, Yah Amsu? Because we already know that it's already built. And he's going to place it in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Contrell, Jerry had posed a question to me.
Yeah.
And the question was somewhat of this nature. Well, if a universal white race supremacy came at me to kill me, I'm going to let him get away. That's what look at in our land, there are certain requirements. But when you're in the land of your enemy, I suggest to you that you pray to Yah for salvation, as you said. And if Yah directs you to tear that ass up, well, you got to do what you got to do. So my thing is this. I've already made my understanding with Yah. I ain't looking for no trouble. I ain't trying to borrow none. I ain't trying to vote on none. But I've all, me and y'all got to understand it. And I pray to y'all. I submit to y'all. But my enemy crossed my door line. It's like Malcolm X, any means necessary. So, and that's that on everybody. And our land has certain requirements, and the land of your enemy, is can you handle the consequences? Because you're in the land of your enemy, the land of your captivity. There is no justice. Can you deal with the consequences? Because believe you me, whatever the consequences go, it's not going to be favorable for you. So I would submit to y'all and put my trust in y'all. And then, like I said, when they cross the, my door threshold, I'm going to defend myself. But I'm not looking for no trouble. I'm not looking for that kind of energy. I'm not looking to attract that kind of negative energy. And I speak to everybody. I'm just cordial and courteous. I'm the most cordial, courteous man you ever want to see. Because I'm not trying to attract that sort of energy, that negative energy. But like I said, sometimes you know, like Jerry said, sometimes some people are just poison and toxic, just in case it's his president. And sometimes it's time and place for everything. So, but in the land of your captivity, you got to understand, you are a captive soldier. You are a captive nation. You're in the land of your captivity. You don't have the latitude and the justice that will be applied in their case. So whatever the outcome, as far as you defending yourself, you have to suffer the consequences. You may get away, and you may not get away. But in the finality, you must let the Most High be your salvation. As I said, you're in the land of your enemy. You're a captive soldier. You're deep behind the enemy lines. And then you can't come out talking about, well, I got rights. You ain't got no damn rights in the land of your enemy. Any rights that he recognized. So think about that. That's why you need Yah on your side so you can avoid those type of situations. That's why you need to be in the salvation of Yah so you don't have to resort to those type of situations. Because you deep behind enemy lines talking about you gonna do you a man. They don't care about you talking about you a man. They don't care about your rights. They give them to you and they taking them away from you. Just like they're doing in Congress now. So you got to understand the gravity of your situation. If you don't know what white race supremacy is, what it is, and how it works, you're going to be totally confused about anything. Because you're going to believe, oh, I'm free. I'm a man. I can do what I want to do. Man, they don't care about you got no driver's license. They don't care about you sitting in the car in your driveway. They don't care about you sitting in the house when they shoot you down. So that's why it's imperative that you have Yah on your side. That's your salvation. That's your shield. That's your buckler. That's your high tower. That's where you go to hide beneath the pinions of his wing. Then you can avoid all those things. But as I said, even that being said, there's a time and place for everything under the sun. What say you, Cartrell?
Well, you answered this question pretty thoroughly. But there is a right that he has. The first right of life is to protect your own life.
Exactly.
Your life is threatened. You have the right, every right in the world to protect your own life.
Exactly.
But
can he suffer the consequence? Because you're in the land of your captivity. If you defend that right, can you defend? Are you willing to accept what's going to come behind it? Because believe you me, in the land of your enemy, something's going to come behind it.
So, yes. And you have to make reference to our ancient past. They were killing Israelites in Egypt. Kill all the firstborn boys, but you really couldn't defend that. And the fact that Moses killed an Egyptian officer because he was oppressing another Israelite, he became a fugitive and had to run, as powerful as Moses was. But he acted for righteousness. He acted for justice. He acted for truth. And Yah was with him to allow him to escape to the land of Midian. But he had to get out of. He had to get out of Dodge because the Egyptians would kill him because he killed the Egyptian officer. So, Samson, right, he's another example who did battle in the midst of his enemies, but we know the Most High was with him. So if you ain't Samson, I wouldn't suggest that you go to war with your enemies unless you got Yah on your side.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Well, Cottrell, thank you, Jerry, for that question. Well, Cottrell, as we always said, we don't know where y'all going, but you're getting ready to get out of here. But y'all need these studies. Now, you see why y'all need these studies. Question like Jerry posed us, question like some of you may have in your mind, what you can do, what you can't do, what's the expectation, what will happen to you, what I'm in the land of my enemies, what can I get by with, what I can't get by with, who can protect me, who's going to be my salvation? And Cottrell said a great point there. The first law is self-preservation. But even that being said, as he said, Moses had to become a fugitive. Can you be like Moses and just become a fugitive? Because you know they're going to come at you. And are you willing to accept the consequences of your action? You're not home. You're not in Jerusalem. You're not in Israel. You are an enemy soldier, caught a captive deep behind enemy lines. And they can do to you whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, and ain't a damn thing you can do about it unless you got Yah on your side. Don't you understand that? You must understand that. Unless you got Yah on your side, he's your salvation, then you in a world of woe. And it's just that on that. If you don't understand universal white race supremacy, your captivity, what it is, and how it works, you're going to be totally confused about everything. And rest assured, we are confused. Well, Cottrell, any closing remarks, my brother and friend?
Yes, well, as we go on in our studies, we will see the history of our ancestors, that when they didn't have Yah on their side, they lost. When Yah wasn't in the battle with them, when they fought other nations, they lost. So if you ain't Samson, I wouldn't suggest that we go to war with our enemies, but to try to get ourselves right and get that connection with the Most High, which we have the opportunity to do. And once we get that connection with the Most High, trust me, our enemies will fall. He said one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. But we ain't right for Yah to put that spirit upon us. So
exactly.
We waiting for that spirit to be placed upon us because we ain't got it yet. And when Yah give the signal, we going to go, just like King David, just like Joshua, just like Moses. He's the commander in chief. And only when he gives the signal, that's when I'm going to go. I don't know when anybody else is going, but I'm waiting for the signal from Yah.
You and me both, Cottrell, and I suggest y'all do the very same thing. Don't wait on the signal from Cottrell. Don't wait on the signal from Yah Tzu. You better wait on the signal from Yah because he's the only one that can protect you in any situation. Make sure you're on the right. That's what I'm saying. Make sure you in the right with Yah. That's what Cottrell is saying. And make sure you're heeding his counsel. That's what we're saying. Well, Cottrell, thank you, my brother and friend. Did I cut you off or did you have any more to say?
No, I'm good. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you too, Cottrell. Hey, sir, yeah. Thank you, Jared. That's a good question. Well, we don't know where y'all are going, but I tell you this. We enjoyed the study session with you. We love you. We pray that the Most High direct you. Listen to us. We pray that the Most High direct you. So you can start leaning to your own understanding. And so you can be protected. That the Most High is your buffer. The Most High is your shield. The Most High, you can hide beneath the pinions of his wings. The Most High, you can stand on the rock. And he's protected. He's a strong tower that you can run to. That's what we're trying to make sure you got. And we're trying to give you the best we got by providing you his message. And if you apply. Yeah, Cottrell.
I'm going to give our family a spiritual weapon. Anytime your adversary comes against you, these prayers that we're reading have so much power. When we lift up our voice and call on the name of Yah. And one powerful psalm is 91. Anytime an adversary comes against you and you pray that psalm and imagine a circle around them, the Most High sends out his angels to protect you every time. It works every time. So it's a spiritual weapon, and you could try it for yourself if you have trust in Yah. But, yeah, it might seem like, you know, you're talking magic and spoof and But no, it's a spiritual weapon that our people don't realize we have. Our communication, our prayers, our tears, our troubles, our sorrow, and our voice being lifted up to Yah, we can see him in action in our behalf on a spiritual plane.
So, Jerry, if you think you may have a problem with universal white race supremacists, or anybody else for that matter, as Katria said, read chapter, invoke chapter Psalm, chapter 91, invoke that chapter, and imagine that universal white race supremacy sealed from harm for you. Okay? It's just that simple. We make everything hard. Thank you, Cartrell.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. May the Most High bless you. It's been a pleasure. And may we all bless the Most High, because it's been a privilege to understand the Most High. It's been a privilege to understand who he is, what he is, and what he expects from us, and to apply what he expects from us. As we said, we love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Direct and order yourself. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Your thinkers are broken. We're not saying that as something rhetorical. We're saying that because we know it's true. Because we know our thinkers are broken. Meaning, we need to get a new one. If it's good enough for your king to ask for one, and he was humble enough to ask for one, are you any better than your king Dawood? Come on now, stop it. You know your thinkers are broken. Go to the Most High in prayer. Ask for a new thinker. A thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The thirst after righteousness in your neighbor, which is your brothers and sisters, and or a stranger, as you love yourself. We love you. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Jerry, for that question. Thank you, Aviyah, the gatekeeper, for keeping us in check. We love you. Hey, Bree. Hey, Gregory. All you Brees and Gregory out there, we love y'all too. Shalom. May the Most High bless you. And good night.
Places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes, I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now. And I'm singing the song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Can't you see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love, holding nothing. You came out in front when I was hiding. Together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding. waste of time. I love you for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song to you. Space or time. I love you for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song to you. We were alone and I was singing this song to you. We were alone and I was singing this song. Singing this song to you.